can be seated. I know what song is going to be stuck in your mind all day today. That's a good thing, though, right? Those of you joining us online, we just want to welcome you as well. And we're so glad that you are. We have two services on Sunday morning, as you know, the first of which is the Bible prophecy update that we do weekly. And then second service, which will be live streamed at 11:15 a.m. Hawaii time, is the sermon. We're currently in a verse-by-verse study through 2 Peter, almost done with 2 Peter. And today, we're going to look at what it is that knowing and understanding Bible prophecy produces in the life of a Christian in this, the last hour of human history as we know it. So I know what you're thinking because I can read your minds. Pastor JD, why are you talking about Bible prophecy all the time? You're asking that, right? Answer, because Peter is. That's my story and I'm sticking with it. So that'll be second service, and really looking forward to what the Lord has for us. So interesting, the prophetic parallels, if I can say it like that, to where we're at in the Word of God and where we're at in terms of Bible prophecy and by extension these prophecy updates. So real quick, those of you that are watching by way of YouTube or Facebook, we'd encourage you to go directly to the website at jdfarag.org. There you will find the uncensored and uninterrupted entirety of today's update. So let's get to it. I'm hoping, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to explain why it is that what we're seeing in the world today are two sides of the same coin. And more importantly, how it is that we ought to live our lives in light of this. Now, by two sides of the same coin, I mean, while the two sides are opposite each other, they're actually the same. And this because, regardless of which side you see, it's still the same coin. And think about this. Both opposing sides require each other in order for it to exist. Like with opposite sides of the same coin, are you, you know what? The enemy wants nothing more than to get your minds to wander, because he does not want you to hear what the Spirit is saying to us, his church, today. So I'm just going to pause for just a moment and pray, if you would please join with me. Father in heaven, we have before us today a word fitly spoken, a prophetic word. And as such, we desperately need for the Holy Spirit to first get our attention, and then once you have our attention, Lord, we need you to hold our attention, because we don't want any distraction to take us away from that which you have for us today. So would you do that for us, Lord, please? We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to say the same thing in a different way. You need opposing sides. Otherwise, there's no coin. Each opposite side needs the other side to exist. And like with the coin, so too is this true when it comes to the same bird. Please stay with me. You've got the left wing and the right wing, but they're on the same bird. I know this is deeply profound. Am I right? Okay, well, they're on the left.
Well, I'm on the right.
You're on the same bird. And you need each other, otherwise that bird ain't gonna fly. Because you've got to have the left and you've got to have the opposing side on the right in order for that bird to exist and, of course, fly. So, I'm not angry, by the way, contrary to what it might sound like. Regardless of which side it is, it's still the same bird flying in the same direction, though both are on opposite sides of each other. Simply put, without two opposing sides, again, there's no coin, there's no bird, and to add one more example, there is no game either. And by game, I mean you don't have a game. You don't have game, but you don't have a game if you don't have two opposing sides. They need each other in order for there to be a game. It's evidenced by this Thrive Time show event dubbed the Great Reawakening versus the Great Reset. It's coming up on the 23rd of this month. We will talk about this more shortly. Why do I mention it now? Because it's the wrong coin. It's the wrong bird. It's the wrong game. It's neither the Great Awakening, nor is it the Great Reset. Rather, it's the Great Tribulation vis-a-vis a worldwide Great Deception. It's not either or, it's neither. And this is prophesied in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. After the rapture of the church, then subsequently the Antichrist's revelation, which will then commence the seven-year tribulation. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 24. I'll begin reading in verse 21. He says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake," speaking of Israel, "in the tribulation," the purpose of the tribulation, "for the Jews' salvation, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." They have to be, otherwise no, keyword, flesh would survive. This great tribulation, not great awakening, not great reset, no, great tribulation will be the likes of which man has never seen before, nor will man ever see again. Great tribulation. Revelation chapter 7. I want to begin reading in verse 13. Now, John is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit what's being revealed to him, revealed revelation. Revelation of what? Revealing what? The person of Jesus Christ. It's the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so in chapter 7, he writes about something that happens. And he says, "Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' So he said to me, these are the ones, listen, who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, verse 15, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. And verse 16 is very interesting. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. The implication being that in the great tribulation, they were starving to death. They were dying of thirst. And the sun was so hot, it was burning and scorching them. This is the great tribulation. So John is told that that's not going to happen anymore. And here's why, verse 17, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, it's important to understand that this chapter, this passage, is parenthetical. Parenthetical meaning it's a parenthesis. There is a chronological order to the book of Revelation, but we have this parenthetical passage, this parentheses, this is what is happening in the midst of the tribulation. So chapter 1 is past, chapters 2 and 3 are present, and chapter 4, verse 1 on, is all yet future. And chapter 4, verse 1 is the rapture, when John is told at the sound of the trumpet to come up hither. He's caught up. He's now from the throne in heaven describing the scene, chapters 4 and 5. And then when we hit chapter 6, all the way through to chapter 19, it's all about the 7-year tribulation. And then chapter 20, the millennium, the 1,000-year reign on earth in its pre-fallen state. Cannot even wrap your mind around that one. And then chapters 21 and 22 are the new heavens and the new earth. We're actually going to talk more about that in our second Peter study, second service. So I just kind of wanted to insert that because it's going to come into play here, because chapter 8 comes after chapter 7. Deeply profound, I know. You have to understand there were not chapter breaks in the original manuscript, right? So this is a contiguous narrative of sorts where John now is describing parenthetically the scene, those that have come out of the tribulation, suffered greatly in the tribulation, and now they're before the throne. And then we're told what happens next. Listen to this. Revelation 8, verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. This has been affectionately referred to as the heavenly hush. And there's quite a bit of humor surrounding it in. You know me, I'll never miss an opportunity to bring humor into something whenever I can. So such is the case here. Silence in heaven for about a half hour? It must mean there's no pastors up there. Okay, that's as far as I'll take that one. There's actually other, you can revise it however you want. Someone said there's no women up there at that time. I didn't say that. I did not say that. Okay, back to our text, verse 2. So we got this silence now for half an hour. That's kind of specific. And John continues, I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then, verse 5, the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. The reason I wanted to start out this way is because these prophecies and the others like them speak to the unspeakable horror that awaits those who go into the great tribulation and those who come out of the great tribulation, known as the tribulation saints, not the church. The church is raptured before the tribulation. These are people who come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in the tribulation, and many of whom will be beheaded and martyred because of it. And they will be coming out of the great tribulation, having come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. These are, again, tribulation saints. Different, please make that distinction. I know that there are those who don't delineate between the church and the saints in Revelation chapter 7 and 8. And we do err greatly to not understand. And I'll give you one real quick. This should seal the deal, no pun intended, because once they are martyred and they come out of the great tribulation, they're sealed. This seals the deal. They're sealed then. That's not the church. We're already sealed prior. Did that make sense? I sure hope so, because I don't know if I could do any better than that. That's the distinction. See, we're already sealed by the Holy Spirit as the church prior to the seven-year tribulation. They get saved in the tribulation, then they get sealed. These are tribulation saints. But it is going to be unspeakable horror. So unspeakable is this horror that there's silence in heaven for about a half an hour when it seems that all are just speechless and stunned at the judgments to come. They're watching this angel with this censer and getting this fire from the altar. And then you have the judgments that come subsequent to this. And I believe this heavenly hush is this profound, astounding, unspeakable silence at what is about to come. So much so that the prayers of all the saints, along with the angel having a golden censer with incense at the altar and before the throne, ascend before God. Can you imagine? Well, it's hard to imagine, right? Just the awe, the holiness. And by the way, the prayers are being answered. What prayers? The prayers of those saints who suffered unspeakable horror in the tribulation. And now there's this silence because God is going to answer those prayers with his just judgment as he pours out his wrath and judges a Christ-rejecting world. This is serious stuff. Then the angel takes the censer, fills it with fire from the altar, and throws it to the earth, and the result is this loud thunder, lightning, and a great earthquake. And this is all prior to the judgments to come, now that the seals are off and the scroll is opened. Now, the question is, where are you going with this? What's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of an update like this? If you'll kindly allow me to, I'll share with you the paramount importance of an update like this. First and foremost, it's to bring Jesus to people and people to Jesus by way of the revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. It's a revealing and unveiling, apokalypsos in the Greek, which means unveiling, revealing. And sadly, this word has been misused and misunderstood and misinterpreted because we've taken this word apocalypse and we made movies about it. Apocalyptic. No, it means you're revealing. What are you revealing? Oh, a person. Who? The person of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation. And I think that the enemy has succeeded in large measure to get Christians to stay as far away as they possibly can from the book of Revelation for this reason. And you know what's sad about that? It's the only book in all of the Bible that promises a blessing to those who read it, hear it, and take it to heart. Well, of course, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal that from us, that blessing. What blessing? The blessing of knowing. And we're going to come back to this. Knowing. Because this is the revelation of how it ends. And if you're born again by the Spirit of God, good news. This ends very well for us. I love the book of Revelation. You probably couldn't tell that I love the book of Revelation. Talk about it all the time. But that's the first purpose of an update like this. We need to get back to Jesus. Because I'm looking at everything and I don't see Jesus anywhere. Oh, they'll say God. They'll even quote / misquote scripture, take grossly out of context. And it sounds like scripture. It's like what Satan did in the garden. He quotes God's word. I'll stop with that. That's enough. I'm spitting anyway, so. But he just tweaks it just a little bit. So, I mean, it sounds right. Well, hey, they're quoting scripture. No, they're not. They're misquoting scripture. And what's the deal with couching all of this in terms of God and light, which we're going to talk about? It's the wrong God, the wrong light. False God, false light. And that's the second purpose of an update like this. It's to warn you. Even plead with you. And the Lord knows my heart. When I make this plea, please do not be deceived. Please. I implore you. This is an extremely powerful delusion. We talked about this Thursday night, Lamentations chapter 4. But even worse, and I'm choosing to word it this way for a reason. It's not only a powerful or strong delusion, as Paul writes to Thessalonians in his second letter, but it's also a seductive deception. It's very seducing. How so? Because I want a great awakening. No, it's very seductive. It sounds good. It sounds right. It's like, why wouldn't you want that? Because it's not the same awakening as what we have in Scripture. So I have to warn you. I don't want to. I have to. And the warning about this evil deception comes packaged with the exposing of this evil deception. How am I going to expose it? By the light? I know this is a terrible illustration, but you know, I don't have a better one, so this is, you're stuck with this one. Have you noticed there's no dark switch? I told you it was going to be dorky. How do you get rid of the darkness? You turn on the light. You have a light switch. It's actually a dark switch. When you turn the light switch on, you're turning the dark off, because the light makes the dark go bye-bye. That was even worse than I thought, but you get the point. So how are we going to expose the deeds of darkness? We're going to turn on the light. Who's the light? Jesus. It's the light of the world. We're going to shine the light of the world and expose the darkness. What if I told you that Lucifer, the name Lucifer, do you know what it means? Light bearer. Ah. Lucifer, light bearer. That's what his name means. But it's the false light. So you got a coin. One side of the coin is the false light. What's on the other side of the coin? Evil darkness. Please, please, please. Don't put God opposite Satan. Satan is not God's opposite. Satan is not omniscient. He is not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He is a created being. God created him. Please never elevate him to that level. He's not the opposite side of God. So you got two opposing sides. One side is the false light, the light bearer, and the other side is evil darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper. Now that is a biblical awakening. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Because he is, notice, not a light, he is the light. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no way to the Father except through him. So, this is what we're going to do for the remainder of our time together today. Yay. We're going to expose the fruitless deeds of darkness and the false light. these two opponents in the same game. But in order to do that, we'll go ahead at this time and end the live stream on Facebook and YouTube and redirect you to the website. So, by way of a preface, I deem it necessary to once again lovingly say that what I'm about to say is only for those with ears to hear the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus the Christ. I'll start with the aforementioned Thrive Time Reawaken America Tour, as it's called, which touts this deceptive opposing sides in order to garner recruits under the banner of a, I'm going to couch it in these terms, please listen carefully, a Christless saving of and reawakening of America. This is the new age. Jesus isn't there. I'll save you the time. You want to try to look for Jesus in this thing? He's not there. This is a game. And you've got two opposing sides. It's the Great Awakening versus the Great Reset. It's utopia versus dystopia. It's freedom versus enslavement. It's prosperity versus poverty. And it's false light versus dark evil. It should be noted that this deceptive movement is gaining traction and selling out tour dates all over the nation. Pictured here are the well-known figures who are the featured and keynote speakers. And I think it's incumbent upon me to mark a few of them, no pun intended, starting with those highlighted here. Please know that the purpose of this is only to expose the deception of this movement. The truth of the matter is, some in this movement may truly know Jesus as their Savior, but those who do not need to know Jesus as their Savior. Let's start with this first one, Charlie Kirk. Number two, Robert F. Kennedy. Number three, Sean Foyt. Number four, Judy Mikovits. Number five, Mike Lindell. Number six, General Michael Flynn. We need to talk about Michael Flynn. On September 17th, 2021, Flynn spoke at the Opening the Heavens Conference in Omaha, Nebraska. The theme of the conference, interestingly, was, it is time to get ready for the revolution of light. Astoundingly, he led a prayer in which attendees repeated after him, and it was verbatim the same exact words uttered by Luciferian Elizabeth Clare Prophet in a New Age demonic channeling in 1984. What follows are quotes from a video titled An Inconvenient Reality, published by probably Alexandria, in which she compares the chilling similarities. First, we'll start with Michael Flynn, quoting now. This is the prayer that the attendees, of which there were thousands, repeated after him. We are your instrument of those sevenfold rays and all your archangels, all of them. Elizabeth Clare Prophet, quote, "And I am the instrument of those sevenfold rays and archangels, and I will not retreat. I will take my stand." Flynn, "We will not retreat. We will stand our ground." Prophet, "I will not fear to speak." Flynn, "We will not fear to speak." Prophet, "And I will be the instrument of God's will, whatever it is." Flynn, "We will be the instrument of your will, whatever it is." Prophet, "In the name of Archangel Michael and his legions, I am freeborn and I shall remain freeborn." Flynn, "In your name and the name of your legions, we are freeborn and we shall remain freeborn." Prophet, "And I shall not be enslaved by any foe within or without." Flynn, "And we shall not be enslaved by any foe within or without, so help me God." Where's Jesus? Which God? Your legions? Oh, we're praying to the Archangel Michael and his legions in his name for the sevenfold rays of light? Whose light? Oh, Lucifer's light. Continuing on with our list, here are several more. You're probably noticing others on here. I'm only pointing out ones that, number seven says, "All Roger Stone." Do you know who this guy is? Number eight, everybody knows who this guy is, Eric Trump. You may have heard, it just started breaking yesterday, I guess. It was yesterday, last night. Donald Trump, posted on his Truth Social network that he was going to be arrested on Tuesday. And I think the quote ended with something to the effect of, "Fight to take back your country." This is a game. It's all a script. These are actors. They're all playing a role. And after their performance, and this is a performance, staged performance, they're backstage after the performance toasting a glass of champagne. The Clintons are there, Obama's there, the Trumps are there, the Bushes are there, et al. Are all there. Number nine, Mike Adams. Number 10, Sidney Powell. Number 11, Dr. Simone Gold. Number 12, Dr. Christiane Northrup. Number 13, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Number 14, Del Bigtree. Number 15, Dr. Andy Wakefield. Wait a minute, Pastor, haven't you quoted some of these people before? Yes, I have. Number 16, Dr. Kerry Madej. Number 17, Pastor Greg Locke. Number 18, Alex Jones. Number 19, Senator Bob Hall. Number 20, Nick Vujicic. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. Number 21, Lara Logan. Number 22, Dr. Rashid A. Batar. Number 23, Attorney General Ken Paxton. Number 24, Sam Sorbo. This is the wife of Kevin Sorbo. Number 25, Dr. Brian Artis. Number 26, Dr. Jane Ruby. Number 27, Pastor Arthur Pawlowski. That's 27 of 105 that I counted last Wednesday when I was working on this, which actually changed from Monday when I started working on this. You'll forgive another bird reference, but you've heard the saying, birds of a same feather flock together. And the direction these birds of the same feather are flying is misleading multitudes who are deceived and have believed that America can be saved and America can be made great again. Is that hard to hear? It's the truth. Fight for your country? Oh, so my hope is in America. Oh, wait, no, actually, it's actually worse than that. My hope is in a savior for America because we have to save America. So that infers that we need a savior for America. See, this is how it works. And we talked about this in January in a titled update, playing both sides against the middle. So they play on each other. And so what happens is you're on this side, they're on that side. So now they're the enemy. They're not the enemy. They're the mission field. And so now it's all about us versus them. This divide and conquer textbook case. And now what has been completely lost is they're lost. Now they are on that side. I am on this side. It makes no difference what side you're on. It's the same bird, the same coin. And the only thing that matters is, am I on God's side? Ask Joshua about that. When they were up against the enemy, opposing them, and the Lord appears before Joshua, and Joshua asks the Lord the question, whose side are you on? Are you on our side or their side? The Lord's answer, I love this. No. Wait. That wasn't a yes or no question. That was actually multiple choice, either A or B. How about neither? And by the way, Joshua, take off your sandals because where you're standing right now is holy ground. And this is a pre-Bethlehem appearance of Jesus because Joshua bows down and worships him. No angel accepts worship. So you've got both sides now, and what's happened is the church, bear with me please, has invested a great amount of time and energy and resources to make the Titanic float again. The Titanic is not going to float again. It's going down. You're not going to save it. But you need to be saved. See, the only question that needs to be asked, I don't care, left, right, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, fill in the rest of the blanks. The only thing that matters is saved or lost. And I'm going to ask the question again. I've asked it before. Please indulge me. For those of you that are caught up in this fight for your country, fight to get your country back. Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, my disciples would fight. But my kingdom is not of this world. That's why they're not fighting. I'm not a citizen of this world. I'm just passing through. I'm a citizen of heaven. So what we've done now is we have now made the person that needs Jesus the enemy, and the question I ask is, how are you ever going to win them to Jesus now that they're the enemy? They're not the enemy. The enemy's the enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, Democrats and liberals and leftists. And please, would you stop? Please, I beseech you. Stop with these words. You're just playing right into this thing, man. They're a leftist. What? Do they know Jesus? Because Jesus loves them, you know. Jesus died for them, you know. They need Jesus, you know. No, they're a leftist. They're a demon rat. Really? Wow. How are you going to win them to the Lord now? I mean, especially after what you just posted on social media. You know what's ironic? They couch this in terms of coming out of darkness and into the light. It's a deception because it's the false light. Would it be okay if we reread Ephesians 5, verses 11 through 14? I want you to pay particular attention to a couple things here. Verse 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Have nothing to do with them. Don't get involved in this. Stay away from this. Don't get caught up in this. Instead of that, expose them for what they really are.
Oh, but hey, you know, we're not the judge.
Excuse me. We're to have sound judgment, discernment. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The light of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, the true light. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. Not God has light. He doesn't bear light. He's not the light bearer. God is light. God is love. It's not just that God has love. No, God is love. That's who he is. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. Now listen to what he says in verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. I'm going to end the way we began and simply echo the Apostle Paul. We're to have nothing to do with either side of this game. It's all going to end the same, and the deception is, you think it's a great awakening? No. Freedom from all debts, Jasara, Nasara. It's the antithesis of the Great Reset. We're going to have a global economic reset. By the way, this bank failure, Silicon Valley Bank, this is a staged, this was pre-planned. And everything is just right on schedule. Because you know what they're doing, right? So the Great Reset side, the dark side, dystopia, you know, they want you to own nothing and be happy and eat bugs. Okay? You got the false light side. No, hey, Great Awakening, New Age of Aquarius. New Age of Aquarius. Sorry, I shouldn't have done that. By the way, Trump played that at one of his rallies, so you know. Oh, he also played Sympathy for the Devil at one of his rallies. Oh, come on. Why are you always hating on Trump? I had somebody say, you've got Trump derangement syndrome. I'm like, whatever. You're deceived. He's not going to save America. Yeah, but he's done a lot of good things. That's what you think. Yeah, but he did this and this. That's, oh man, you buy the lie. Who's the father of the vaccine? Trump. And by the way, if you try to give somebody else other than Trump credit for the vaccine, well, you don't want to know. He gets angry. I'm the father of the vaccine. Oh, you are you? Yeah, we saved millions of lives. No, you didn't. You took and killed millions of lives. Operation Warp Speed? Have you seen the logo on that thing? That is as demonic as it gets. And not even to mention what he's doing with Jerusalem, with the peace deal and the Abraham Accords. And please don't tell me it doesn't divide Jerusalem, because you're deceived. It divides Jerusalem. Nobody said Jerusalem's the capital of Israel. He said that. He says that to all the people, because he tells the Palestinians, Jerusalem's your is the capital of Palestine too. No, it's not. Deception, deception, deception. If you're involved in this stuff, like John says, you're walking in darkness. And you're living a lie. Because this is a lie from the father of lies. 1 John chapter 1. Oh, sorry. I wanted to re-preach that passage again. The Apostle Peter, again, we're going to see this in our text, Second Service. I'm going to borrow from it because it's not a great awakening or a great reset, but the great tribulation. And in light of this, the question before every single one of us, myself included, is this, and Peter asks it, how then ought we to live? What then should be our response? 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. We're going to talk about that. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. Did that sound like the prophecy we just read in Revelation chapter 7 and 8? That's what's coming. It's not a great awakening. This great reset, it's kind of funny. I say funny in a tongue-in-cheek way. Well, there's going to be a great reset. They're actually, in theory, they're both right. There is going to be a great awakening because multitudes are going to come to Christ in the great tribulation. There is going to be a great reset. Actually, it's going to start after the seven-year tribulation in the kingdom age. That's the reset. So, this is false. Here's the bottom line. I'm going to repeat it again. I hope you don't tire of me saying it. But the only thing that will ever matter in the end, and this is the end, is salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. One last thing before we bring it to a close and do the ABCs and the But God testimony. I've shared this before. I'll share it again. I think this would be an appropriate time. God has been doing a powerful work in my heart in this regard. And I quit. I got out of the game. You know how you always know you made a really good decision when your only regret is that you didn't make it sooner? Well, this was one of those decisions. When I just finally said, that's it, I'm out, man. I'm on to you. I see what you're doing. I see where this is going. I wash my hands of this. I'm out of the game. The freedom that came was indescribable. I cannot put it to words in the English language, as faulty as it is. I cannot even begin to describe to you the freedom that ensued when I finally said, that's it. What's it? I don't vote anymore. I won't vote anymore. I'll tell you why. People say, well, I had to vote for the lesser of two evils. Oh, so you voted for evil. Now, I'd be grossly remiss if I didn't confess that there was a time not too long ago, several years ago, when I would stand behind the pulpit, as is my privilege to, and I would say something to the effect of, it is our responsibility to vote, and it is a privilege to vote, and you'll be held to an account by God for voting and how you vote. And now, I say you'll be held to an account by God if you vote. And by the way, it's not an election, it's a selection. I'm sorry if that... Listen, I've got nothing to lose. I say this in love, and I hope you don't misunderstand me. I really don't care anymore. Because we're living in a day and an age where, you know, kind of just, you know, tone it down and soften it up. And, you know, you don't have to be so like that. No, you actually do. Because we're living in a day and an age that is most unforgiving of not doing that. This is it. And I will not participate in the deeds of darkness. It's all darkness. It's all evil. These are two sides of the same coin. And Jesus is nowhere to be found. Can I just say one last thing? I'm hesitating because I have to ask the Lord about this. Okay, I'll just pose this question. Do you really believe that if you vote your guy in office, that you're going to turn this thing around? That's not a rhetorical question. I'm sincerely asking you that question. Do you really believe that? Yeah, but your vote counts. Let's just say hypothetically, for purpose of discussion, that it does. And you do get your guy in. All right. Happy days are here again. I need to stop with the singing. See what you did, Capone, with God, you're so good. Anyway. So you do get your guy in. What's he going to do? If God has ordained it, who's going to go against it? Ask the Jews about this in Judah. When Jeremiah for 40 plus years is prophesying and warning them, the Babylonians are coming to take you captive, don't fight it. God ordained it. If you fight against it, then you're fighting against God. You know what they did? They fought. And it cost them their lives. If I'm not mistaken, I don't see in Bible prophecy anything that even remotely resembles things turning around. This is it. And I will say it with my last breath, till my last breath. And again, please, in love, I don't care what you think. And you can be mean and nasty and vile and foul and say, I'm never coming back to this church. I'm unsubscribing. Okay. I don't agree with you. It doesn't matter if you agree with me. It matters, do you agree with God? Well, I don't like you. You don't need to like me. I'm not particularly fond of you either, actually, if you don't like me. Isn't that how it is? I like you. Well, I happen to like you too. It's human nature. It's the truth. Wounds of a friend are faithful, and they can be trusted. An enemy multiplies kisses. I have to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God, because I'm going to be held to an account. And I don't want anyone's blood on my hands. I warned you. I'm warning you. This is a deception. This is a lie. Stay as far away from it as you possibly can. Expose this for what it is, darkness, evil deeds of darkness. And you better get the light of Jesus Christ now. Now, because we're living in very dark times. Yeah. Now, how do I go to the gospel from here? What is the gospel? Good news. Wow, Pastor, that was... Well, it's true. The bad news is the catalyst for the good news. I know it's not proper English, but the badder the bad news is, the gooder the good news will be. What's the good news? Well, the good news is that Jesus Christ came. He was crucified for you and me, buried, rose again on the third day, defeating death for you and me, and he's coming back again one day for you and me. That's the good news. What are the ABCs? Just a simple childlike explanation of salvation. The A is for admit or acknowledge that you've sinned, that you need a Savior. Romans 3:10 says there is no one righteous. Not even one. You might be a good person. You'll never be good enough. And Romans 3:23 tells us why. It's because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. Now, there's a penalty in Romans 6:23, and it's the death penalty. For the wages of sin is death. But here's the good news. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the A. Here's the B, and the B is central. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. It's very simple. And the C, lastly, is for call upon the name of the Lord, or as Romans 10, 9 and 10 also says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And lastly, Romans 10:13, and I love this, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Not might, not could, not should, no, will be saved. It's childlike simple. Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I think it's sad that we've complicated the gospel. We've put other things into it, onto it, included with it. It's very simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish in hell for all eternity, but have everlasting life. I appreciate your patience. We're almost done. I want to share today's But God testimony. It's as unique as it is special. And it comes from Emma, who is only 11 years old and lives in, of all places, Ontario, Canada. I have a huge soft spot when it comes to these young people. And I just want to share with you her wonderful handwritten letter that she mailed in. Dear Pastor J.D. Farag, thank you so much for being our pastor. Thank you for always standing up for what is right and telling us the truth. I think you're a great pastor and you're leading many people to Christ, but you always tell us before you believe what I preach, go in the Bible and see if it is true. You are kind of funny. Not funny looking. Funny. She says I'm funny. And you make us happy. I love how you get lots of those but God stories and you pray for those people. You show love for God's church. Sincerely, Emma B., 11 years old, Ontario, Canada. Oh, man. Why don't you go ahead and stand? I hope that made your day as much as it did mine. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I know today was kind of tough and hard and weighty, and I think of Peter, of all people, whom we've gotten to know as of late, who, when you ask the question of, is this teaching so hard? Do you want to leave too, as did the multitudes? And Peter's response to you was our response to you, Jesus. Where else are we going to go? For you alone have the words of life. Yeah, it is hard. We don't want to hear this. I surely don't want to preach this. But it is the truth. And the truth is what truly sets us free. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And Lord, we want to be free indeed. Free in you, Jesus. So please, Lord, I pray that you'll take this now and do that which only you can and are always so faithful to. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're so good to me. You've always been so good to me. I sing it through eternity. God, you're so good.
God, you're so good.
God, you're so good to me. You've always been so good to me. I sing it through. Soon and very soon. just so good to me. You've always been so good to me. I'll sing it through eternity. God, you're so good. I'll sing it through eternity. God, you're so good.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, folks.